You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Air Up There by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
The 20th chapter, Matthew 20. And for the sake of time, go right to verse 22. Zebedee's children's mama come to Jesus asking, please let my children, my two boys, sit one on your right hand, one on the left. He said in verse 22, you know not what you ask. Be able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, be baptized with baptism that I shall be baptized with. And they said, we are able. And he said, ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared, my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. We've been teaching, this is I think week 4 now, and my final week, whether I finish or not, I'm finished, because I need to move on. The subject, the air up there, which is talking about the capacity for the next level. How many of us want to go to the next level, whatever that is, amen? And I always say that, I always remind, whenever you hear next level is not the ultimate level. If next level is the ultimate level, we never need to talk about next level again. It's whatever the next level, because everything that God has for you is going to come in stages. It's going to come in steps. It's going to come in seasons. I haven't quite figured this out yet, and I'm talking out loud. These are things I talk to people about who know me. There's some things, and by the way, can I tell y'all, one of the most confident things, places that I'm at now in my life, is as long as I don't have all the answers. It is so freeing. Not only is it freeing, it frees me from being in bondage to y'all. Well, why, Pastor? Why? Why? I don't know. And you ain't gonna put all that pressure on me. I am not God. I do not have to have all the answers. And the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. I'll tell you what I know. I'll tell you what I think. And I can refer you to some scriptures. And at the end of that, I still don't know, have all the answers. I don't have answers why some people have children and who look like they're horrible parents. And those who would love them don't have. I don't have answers for that. I don't have answers for even how it even could be some kind of way allowed in the awesome might of God's power that children would be shot up in a school who did nothing. I don't have any answers for that. I ain't gonna let you put me under all this pressure to try to have it other than the fact to say there's evil in the earth and everybody needs Jesus. Amen. And some people, I don't care, I'm going to say it. I know that my psychologist and sociologist and mental health people don't like me to say it. Some people just crazy. Some people have mental health issues and some people crazy. Okay? And I don't understand that. Okay? But God is still a good God. See, but here's the other thing I've settled. I've settled that God is good. Even when I don't see his goodness. Oh, come on now. I settle that God is good even when this bad thing has happened. You cannot make me take back that God is good. You cannot make me take back that God is a healer. You can't make me take back that God loves me. He wants to prosper me and he wants the best for me. I don't care what happens. And see, some of y'all need to understand that a lot of what you go through is to make you change what you believe about God. But you got to get it settled. God is good when everything else is bad. He is still good. God loves me when it looks like I'm not experiencing his love. He still loves me because I'm not moved by what we see. I got certain things settled. Oh, glory to God. I'm saved when I don't feel saved. I'm saved when I feel like cussing folks out. I'm still saved. I've been washed in the blood. Even when the devil tried to bring back my past and condemnation, just certain things you just got to get settled. Once you get it settled, the devil realized, well, let's go mess with somebody else because I can't make them change their mind about him. As we used to say, I heard a preacher say this morning who's in his 60s. He said, the old people used to say, I said, you one of them. So preachers, we got to be careful when we say the old folks used to say, because we've been saying that for 40 years.
And when you keep them, the old people used to say, we the age that they were saying it. Okay. But they used to say in yesteryear, you can't make me doubt them because I know too much about them. So I'm telling you, get it settled that God is good. And so we've been talking about going to the next level. I'm not going to do a whole lot of review today because I said this is I want to end this today. So this is part four. Let me just add this, that the next level is always going to come with greater responsibility and greater accountability. Everybody say greater responsibility and greater accountability. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? How many want to go to heaven? Come on, this ain't a trick question. How many want to go to heaven? Okay. How many of y'all read my book, In Whom There's No Guile? I mean, you don't really want to go to heaven then. If you want to go to heaven, you got to read my book, In Whom There's No Guile. Y'all pick up a copy today after church, okay? But I wrote a book called In Whom There's No Guile, and it's really geared towards people who are in ministry. Jesus comes across him when he meets Nathanael. He says, tells Nathanael, gives him word and all. He says, I saw you this morning when you were sitting over there. Nathanael said, what? And when he sees Nathanael, he said, here is an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no guile. He said, that person has a pure heart, pure motives. That's what no guile means. There's no hidden agenda. And in that book, I talk about, for those of us who are called in ministry and called to a higher status in life, there's going to be greater responsibility and greater accountability. Some of us, we recognize the responsibility, and we think I got what it takes, but we don't want accountability. See, because of my position as your pastor, I'm not just accountable to God, I'm accountable to y'all. I represent y'all. Come on now. I shouldn't be anywhere that y'all can't know I'm there. Oh, y'all, see, some of y'all ain't even willing to live like that. Greater responsibility, greater accountability. And some of us, see, the responsibility, we like, I can deal with it. I'm qualified, I got education, but we don't want accountability because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we don't want to have to answer to anybody that don't have a higher level of responsibility. James, the third chapter, verse 1, and I'm reading it for the sake of time directly from the Amplified Version. It says, not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others. Because that's part of what we do as teachers. We say, we as teachers, particularly in the body of Christ, we say, this is the word of God. This is how we should be living. This is where we need to bring our lives up to. And he said, many of us shouldn't do that, my brethren. For you know that we teachers, and James puts himself in that category, he said, I accept the fact we teachers will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Can I just put not only teachers, but we leaders in the body of Christ, we leaders over ministries, we heads over whatever, we're going to be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability. He said, it comes with it. And the more condemnation. He said, we're going to be judged and have to maintain a higher standard. And folks are going to condemn us quicker when we don't do it. Now, this condemnation isn't coming from God. There's no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus walking out of the flesh, but out of the spirit. This condemnation, he says, people are going to look at you and point the finger at you. And you need to be prepared for it. You know, it really amazes me because I've come to the place we were with Bishop Jakes and we sat down with his social media marketing and public relations directors, and they were talking to us about certain things around social media and public relations, etc., and marketing and presenting ourselves and branding ourselves even in our own cities, and they said we will quickly use block ministry. Some of y'all know what block ministry is. I use block ministry, okay? I do not get in arguments with people on social media. If you don't like me, why are you following me other than be nosy? So I will block you. My children say, Dad, you can't block people. Yes, I can. There ain't nothing in the Bible says, thou shalt not block thy Facebook friend who ain't a real friend anyway. I will block you. And you will see me no more. I'm not getting in arguments and all that and letting you berate me on social media. Just come on. I don't do that to people. Okay? And I don't have to tolerate it from other people. Okay? I said to a pastor, he said, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that of my reputation, what everybody thinks about me. I said, the main thing you need to be concerned who think about you is the people in your church. I'm concerned about what y'all think about me because y'all are here. Y'all are getting tithes and offerings. Y'all support this ministry. Everybody ain't going to like you. Will you hunt your neighbor and say, stop trying to get everybody like you? You will be a straight up schizophrenic trying to get everybody like you and satisfy everybody. Like Pastor Mark said yesterday. How you doing? You remember on Coming to America? Trying to get somebody like her. Okay? You be hopping on one leg, then spinning on your head, then back flipping, and then you're going to have 10 hairstyles in one head. You ever see folks, you look like, how many people worked on your head? Did they get together? Did they even look what the other one was doing? You look pretty crazy. You can't get everybody like you. But at the same time, I accept the fact that because of having a certain level not the word isn't popular, exposure, you got to be prepared to take shots. Oh, yeah. If you're going to be up here, you got to take shots. You got to be prepared to take shots, or at least be prepared to block shots. Because they're going to come at you because there's a bigger view of you. They have a more clearer view of you. So verse 2, James says, we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. None of us are perfect. He said, and if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. He said the goal is to try to not say the wrong thing. He said, but as long as you're in the earth and if we are teachers of other people and you teach with your life and you teach with your word, he said it's a possibility you're going to say something to offend somebody. And it comes with the territory. He says, be conscious of it. Be deliberate about it, but understand at any given moment you can say something that somebody gonna find offensive, and they will walk with you no more. Jesus did it; it happened to him. It'll happen to me as a pastor. And so, I used to get it. Because people don't tell you that they left anymore. So I used to say, well, I didn't see them in 3 weeks. I seen them in 4 weeks. Okay, what was I preaching on last time they was here? In that message I said such and such. And I just try to beat myself up trying to figure out what I said. Come on, now, at any given moment, y'all know I'll be going crazy trying to figure out everything I said and where different people may have gotten offended. And so Paul says, but that comes with the territory. He says, so the next level is going to come with responsibility and accountability. You're accountable for what you do, you're accountable for what you say, and you got to understand, folks are looking at you. So the next level, it comes with that. Well, I don't want people in my business, okay? Then don't put your business out there, okay? And don't put yourself on any level where anybody knows anything about you. You can't put everything out on Facebook and then tell me you don't want folks in your business. So accountability, responsibility. People are going to look at you. Certain things that come with it. Don't get mad. It comes with it. Comes with that level. The level of exposure, level of criticism, the level of people looking at you. Also, the next level, it may require you to run faster than you're running now. Look at Jeremiah 12 and 5. I did a series back many years ago when we were worshiping over in St. Andrews. I did a series called Running with the Horses based upon this scripture. Jeremiah 12 and 5. It says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? And the Message translation makes this real quickly. He says, so Jeremiah, if you're worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? And if you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when troubles break loose like the Jordan in a flood? And y'all hear me, I use this as an example all the time. It's kind of a minutia, minuscule example, but I see it happen. You're staying away from church because somebody looked at you wrong. They didn't say nothing. You're staying away from church because you don't like the parking lot attendant. And you're talking about God called me to greatness. No, he hasn't. If he has, you ain't going. Can I tell you? Because in order to go to certain levels, even when people petty, you can't be petty. You got to rise above petty. Everybody throw your hands up and say, Lord, help me to rise above petty because I got a doctorate degree in it. Some of y'all real quick, if you don't come for me, I don't come for you. But let you know, I will clap back. Okay? Can I tell you, you get to a certain level, you can't clap back. It belittles you to clap back. Come on. It makes you petty to clap back. And some folks, they trying to get you to clap back to try to show to other people. See, they ain't no better than anybody else. Uh-huh. Yeah, you see? Yeah, and what they're doing, they're trying to antagonize you. Jeremiah, you can't run with the footmen. Now you're talking about you're gonna contend with horses. You think you're ready for the next level? You can't keep your wits about you during times of calm. You can't even take authority over your own thoughts. Never mind binding what other people are saying about you and keeping external stuff from affecting you. You haven't even learned to take authority over the thoughts that rise in your own mind. Coming because before you deal with other people, you got to be able to deal with yourself. Can I tell you, if you learn to deal with yourself, then you'll be able to deal with other people. If you learn to silence your own negative voices, you don't care about the other people's negative voices. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. So when my own flesh and my own thought try to tell me you can't make it, you can't do it, I got to calm my own self down and say, no, greater one lives on the inside of you. God didn't bring me this far to leave me. If he got me here, he's going to take me further. If he put me on this platform, I got what it takes. I got to silence my own voices of despair, of negativity. So next step, it may require you to run faster. It says, if thou hast run. So when I read this, it made me think of a poem that I'm supposed to know. When I played my fraternity, I was supposed to memorize this poem, but I was used with a bunch of other brothers, and I was... And they thought I knew it, but when I went back and looked at it, I don't really know it. There's a poem that I had to learn and memorize in 1982. In spring of 1982, called If by Rudyard Kipling. Some of you have heard it. It says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or be lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. If, see, the next level is conditional if you can take it. The next level is conditional if you can deal with people talking about you. The next level is attainable if you can keep dignity when everybody else around you is acting undignified. Are y'all listening to me? So there's a high responsibility, high accountability. It's going to require more of you. It may require more fortitude. It may require more self-discipline. It's going to require you to silence negative voices first internally before you even worry about externally. There's a level you got to go to for the next level of racing. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" 1 Corinthians 9, 24. "But one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain." Now, most translations says, run to win. I don't know if any of y'all saw this in the Olympics. They had this one, I don't know what country it was from. It was the downhill slope skiing where they go down and they go up and they're supposed to do flips and then come down and then they do flips and then they come down again and do flips. Well, they had one person there, they couldn't do their flip. They just happened to be there. It looked like something on Saturday Night Live, y'all. Didn't y'all see it? They was like, and they interviewed, they said, "I'm just happy to be here." Not a person knew they wasn't going to win. Couldn't do nair flip. Had no speed. They just want to be in the race. Can I tell you? Come on, I don't just want to be in the race. I want to win. See, they do this thing now, and I know y'all, some of y'all, y'all think it's a good thing. I don't necessarily think it's a good thing, okay? Because now they're giving all the kids prizes. That ain't even scriptural. Everybody get a trophy. Okay? Because you don't want nobody to feel bad. You ain't ready for the next level. Because there's going to be times when your kids going to have to feel bad and suck it up. Come on now. Can I tell you, that starts in the home. So we ain't going to give your sister or your brother birthday cake. On everybody's birthday, everybody get a cake. No! We celebrating them on this day. We'll celebrate you on your day. See, when you teach your children those kind of things, you're teaching them to be unselfish. You're teaching them this is how life is. Every day you ain't going to be celebrated. There are days you got to learn to celebrate somebody else. And just wait for your day to come. Sometimes you sow in a celebration seed. Y'all ain't hear what I said. I'm going to celebrate with you because I believe one day I'm going to have a reason for you to celebrate with me. It's your birthday. You can do what you want to do. It's your birthday. But my birthday coming, doggone it. My grandson, he's into numbers. Counts. So right after his birthday, January 11th, he said, about a week later, he said, "My birthday going to be in 360 days. Oh, come on now. He's doing a countdown to the next one. He even figured this thing out. Okay? In about 360 days, I'm going to have a birthday. Now, he basically, we would say a year. He said, "No, it's only 360 days. Look, somebody say, "Your birthday is coming." He said, "But when you run a race, run that you may win." You know, he said, "Give it all you got. Do the best you can do." And some of us, we're jogging through life, but we ain't really running. We ain't really running. We jog. And some of us, we have no strategy. Okay, again, watching Olympics recently, and I don't know how many times they had to go around that thing, around the track. But they had this one girl, and she just took off. And she was at least a half a lap around everybody else. And she was just going, shh, shh, shh. You know how to do, shh. And she just, shh, 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 shh. And she's about half a lap. And so I had never really watched this race before. And they said, "Well, it'll be interesting to see if she can keep up this pace. It'll be interesting." I mean, she was way, she got, and everybody else was just kind of staying there together. She was just going. And then that last thing, ding, 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 the last lap came. And everybody else, they start going for it. Now, then they took off, and she was nowhere to be seen. She started off, I don't know, they had to run around like 8 times. For 7, she was way out ahead. But she had no strategy to finish. Are y'all hearing me? Sometimes you got to pace yourself. I know you're trying to get there right now. You try, come on. But God's trying to build something in you. The race ain't given to the swift, nor to the strong, but the one that endures to the end. Look, somebody say, I'm in this thing for the long haul.
Many of us want to go to the next level. The question is, are we able to withstand the air at the next level? Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that going higher in your purpose may require you to breathe a little differently. Order this powerful message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Air Up There.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.